నమస్తే అండ్ వెల్కమ్ టు ధర్మా రిఫ్లెక్షన్స్ విత్ రఘు మాధురై. వీ హ్యావ్ ఆల్రెడీ అనలైజ్డ్ హౌ ఈవెన్ ద వర్స్ట్ ఆఫ్ అధార్మిక్ క్యారెక్టర్స్ పోర్ట్రేడ్ ఇన్ ఇతిహాస పురాణాస్ క్యాన్ బి ఫిల్డ్ విత్ లాట్ ఆఫ్ విజ్డమ్ విచ్ దే హ్యావ్ ఫెయిల్ టు అప్లై ఇన్ దేర్ లైఫ్స్. వీ సా హౌ కుంభకర్ణ గేవ్ టైమ్లీ అడ్వైస్ టు రావణ విచ్ హీ ఆబ్వియస్లీ రిజెక్టెడ్. వీ ఆల్సో సా హౌ హిరణ్యకశిపు వాస్ బ్రిమ్మింగ్ విత్ జ్ఞాన వెన్ ఇట్ కేమ్ టు అడ్వైసింగ్ హిస్ మదర్ and his sister-in-law and his nephews. In the same series, today we are going to study about Maricha. Maricha is a very interesting character in Ramayana. He comes in Balakanda, has a early interaction with Rama, and then he resurfaces later on when Ravana wants to kidnap Sita. Most of the time, the media portrayal of Maricha is like a demon with a ghastly form and doing heinous acts. Maybe they show little bit of resistance when they show Ravana. But the truth is far from that. So first, let us look into Valmiki Ramayana, understand the story and get a full picture of what actually transpired. And then we will investigate and understand what we can extract and apply in our daily lives. Maricha was the son of Yaksha Sunda and Yakshini Tataka. Note that Tataka was not a born Rakshasi. It was due to her actions she transformed herself into one. Sunda was foolish enough to attack Agastya Maharishi. Due to that, he gets reduced to ashes. To avenge his death, Maricha and Tataka attacked the Rishi arrogantly. Tataka was having many elephants' strength and she takes a ghastly form to display her strength. Agastya cursed her to remain in that state where she will be abusing her power, terrorizing the innocent, the rishis, and commit more papa. We can learn more about the different states of our mind in the shifting line of dharma perception, which we will address in a later time. We also have investigated in depth on why Rama and Krishna's first kill was a woman. Maricha made the mistake of attacking Rama with all his hordes and Subahu. Rama sends a non-fatal astra to hurl him 100 yojanas. This gave a taste of Manavastra to Maricha, who did not come in contact with Rama after that encounter. Shurpanaka tried to remove Sita, whom she thought as the obstacle that was preventing her from taking Rama. She also got frustrated she could not reach Lakshmana due to Sita. One must remember, at this time, Shurpanaka is not an innocent lady who is just getting excited by Rama's beauty. This is a widow of Vidyujjiva who was killed by Ravana himself in a battle. Since Shurpanaka was threatening the life of Sita on Rama's order, Lakshmana merely chopped her nose and ears and let her go because she was a woman. There are people who argue that this is misogyny, but this is far from that. When a Rakshasi is threatening to eat your wife, if she is not given a firm message of intent, she will never learn. Remember, she went back and got Kara and Dushana and an army of 14,000 powerful Rakshasas in Janasthana, whom Rama, fighting on foot, destroyed them in mere 1.5 muhurtas. That is roughly 72 minutes. So when some foolish half-baked person tries to criticize Rama committing misogyny, just remember the fact that Rama was merely trying to protect his wife from being eaten. If that is a case of misogyny, then it is better not to try to make some sense into such people. Ravana was already aware of the consequences of attacking Rama frontally. Akampana, the sole survivor who hid in the clothes of a woman to escape, goes back to Ravana and give him the first report. Shurpanaka, seeing the devastation at the hands of Rama, goes to Ravana and give him a different picture. She understood that Ravana cannot be instigated to act as he knows Rama's power. So instead, she takes an emotional route. She appeals to Ravana's passion. She talks about Sita as a wonderful trophy and that Rama doesn't deserve. And she was merely trying to get Sita for Ravana's cause. Ravana is completely enveloped by a morbid desire to obtain Sita at all costs. Valmiki Ramayana uses a wonderful word to characterize this state of mind. It is called Abhishvanga. Abhishvanga refers to the intense desire, the blinding desire, the one that cannot be reached by logic, where one is completely under the sway of the desires. Even the senses, the mind, and every single fiber in the body is disoriented and consumed by this burning passion. We can refer to this state of mind as the reason why Ravana fell. When we hear Mandodari lament after his death, she declared that Ravana fell to Rama's arrows not because of lack of prowess or because of Rama's great arrows, but he merely succumbed and became a prey to his own senses and desires. Ravana now thought of a plan how to obtain Sita. Since he ruled out frontal attack, he wanted to trick and obtain Sita at all costs. His natural course of action was reaching out to the best in transformation arts. Maricha could take any form at his will. So Ravana went to Maricha's abode, started painting a bad picture of Rama. He told that Rama was brutal, selfish, unrighteous, a sensory slave. He portrays such a dark image of Rama that even Valmiki doesn't portray Ravana in such light. He declared to Maricha that Rama was driven away by his angry father, Pitra Nirastha Kridena, someone who has very limited life, Sheena Jeevita, someone who was an ignoble Kshatriya. Kshatriya Pasana. Ravana expanded his choice of dark epithets by calling Rama as characterless, someone who has violent outbursts, senseless, selfish, slave to senses, one who has discarded dharma, unrighteous to the core, and one who is bad to all the beings. Ashlila, Karkashaha, Tikshano, Murko, Lubdo, Ajita Indriya, Tyakta Dharmaha, Tu Adharma Atma, Bhutanam Ahita Rataha. This kind of argument would easily convince any person who is neutral. Then he lays out his grand plan of how Maricha can transform himself into a deer and misdirect Rama while he can escape with Sita. And in the meantime, Maricha can also escape from the sight of Rama. And Ravana was glad to give half of his wealth and treasures and kingdom. The classic case of luring with more greed. Merely listening to this ghastly plan, Maricha's mouth dried up. He started shivering. Ravana did not know Maricha's encounters with Rama, nor did he understand that Maricha was evolving little Satoguna, though he was covered under deep tamas. Maricha was able to see the entire fault was with his counsel. The people who advised Ravana were very selfish and abusing Ravana by playing to his desires. Maricha countered every single adjective of Ravana's description of Rama with his own. After rejecting every single adjective, he explained how Rama came to the forest to protect his father's virtues, not even his own. He explained Kaikeyi's deception and that Rama had no need to go to the forest, yet he chose to. Maricha then rebukes Ravana not to talk of topics where he had no idea about, but where he was acting like an expert. This is something that would probably be very apt in our cases. We get most of our wisdom from WhatsApp or some social media forwards, and we act as if we know everything, when in reality, we have not done enough homework to study about any topic. He rejected all the slander and the lies of Ravana vehemently. He then ventures to give an insight of Rama's true nature, something even Kausalya, Dasaratha, Lakshmana or Sita could not give. Even the rishis who came in contact with Rama did not give such a deep insight. Maricha declared Rama as the embodiment of all dharma, a person filled with excellent character and truth and valor. He was the real king in the world, and just like Indra is undisputed king of devas. This is a very, very classic utterance of Maricha. Ramo vigrahavan dharmaha, sadhu, satya parakrama, raja, sarvasva lokasya devanam iva vasava. Maricha continued to repeat the dire consequences that Ravana was about to commit due to his myopic desire to abduct Sita. He warned that the entire Rakshasa Kula will be destroyed. Maricha told that when Rama was a young lad, how he encountered him in Vishwamitra's Yajna. He watched the decimation of Subahu and all his hordes at the hands of Rama, and how Rama chose to spare him by using a simple Manavastra. He resolved not to cross paths with Rama and provoke his anger. But fate did not leave him at that. Later, when Maricha and two of his associates were terrorizing the rishis of Dandakavana by taking the form of a terrible animal, by killing them and thriving on their blood, feasting on the rishis' flesh, they again encountered Rama. Rama was the life of the rishis. He came there with Lakshmana and Vaidehi to protect them. Seeing the terror, Rama released some deadly arrows that took the lives of Maricha's friends. But somehow, Rama's arrows graciously let Maricha escape. These two encounters with Rama kindled a sattvic fire in Maricha. But this was shrouded by his deep, dark vasanas and fear. He retired as an ascetic, trying to lead a yogic life. We saw how if one chooses Paramatma, even for wrong reasons, they still advance spiritually or get moksha. Kamsa spent all his life, after learning about his death at the hands of Krishna, thinking only about Krishna but in fear. Yet he attained moksha. A similar transformation took over Maricha, who was all the time absorbed in thoughts of Rama but in fear. He saw Rama in every single tree. He saw Rama as clad in jute and black deer skin, armed with a bow. At times he had envisioned Rama in thousands. Sometimes the entire forest appeared as one Rama or as many Ramas. He saw Rama in the empty void, even in his dreams. Even the word, even any word that starts with the syllable Ra, gave him deep chills. Words like Ratha, Ratri, were enough to invoke thoughts of Rama. Maricha went on to inform Ravana that Rama's skill in warfare would be sufficient to wipe out even Bali or Namuchi, the great asuras who encountered Mahavishnu. So Ravana was no match. Maricha declared Shurpanaka must have been the instigator in the entire episode. He advised Ravana to investigate this aspect because she was renowned for her deceit and untruth. Maricha requested Ravana not to go with this plan if he bothered about the lives of his kinsmen. Unfortunately, Maricha underestimated Ravana's abhisvanga. He thought by merely laying out the facts, by giving detailed logic, Ravana could be convinced. Ravana merely remained obstinate and declared that he would not change his plans or his mind that is set on Sita. He gave a choice to either die at his hands or Rama's. The wiser Maricha chose Rama. Let us pause the story here and try to correlate with our daily lives. Why is Maricha's story important to us? Though we have no connections with Maricha or Ravana, the first point is, in Bhagavan's plans, everything happens for a reason. When Rama killed Subahu and all the other Asuras, he could have taken down Maricha with a single Astra, yet let him escape. The second time also, Rama chose to retain Maricha's life for some mission. Our own karmas and karma phala fructify differently. Due to this, sometimes unexpectedly, we find good things happening with very little contribution from our side. On the other hand, due to our past karma or due to the past karma's phala, we find unexpected obstacles even when everything seems to be in our favor. If we apply our buddhi, we can understand that there is a larger reason behind the events that are happening in our life. The next point is about karma. We find even many good sadhus are completely destroyed though they practice dharma along with their kith and kin due to the wrong actions of others. Maricha was lamenting about his own situation that despite being a sadhu, he was being destroyed due to Ravana. This is where we share a lot of traits with Maricha. We usually tend to forget all our own bad karmas and we plead ignorance. Suppose we have done some past bad karma and due to that we land in a place that is filled with papas. Instead of associating more with papa karma of others, the best and the only option we have is to discard such bad association, or else we face the same consequences as the adharma perpetrators. The next point we need to ponder is, whom are we listening to? Ravana did not listen to any person who gave dharmic advice, whether it was Vibhishana, Malyavan, Maricha on his side, or someone like Hanuman or Sita from the opposite side. Maricha gives us the clear picture that Ravana was merely surrounding himself with adharmic ministers who were merely appealing to his desires and passions instead of trying to educate him and reform him. In our case too, we mirror a lot of Ravana's behavior. Maricha gives this understanding of how we behave like Ravana. Our buddhi is trying to give us a distinction with what is good and bad. Sometimes this buddhi is not even developed because of constant association with adharma. Due to this, the manas is driven towards sensory attractions and the senses obviously are one with the sense objects. Due to this, the manas and senses tug ourselves in the direction of the worldly attractions. With the buddhi safely disposed, there is no resistance. In such a case, where is the alignment with dharma? When there is no entity that can inform us of what is right and what is wrong. Continuing the same line of thought, we need to ponder on bad association. Even if a person has done no papas, but due to the interdependence with other papatmas, the ones who do no sin still get destroyed as collateral damage. Valmiki Ramayana gives an example of how a fish gets destroyed in a lake of snakes. Maricha overcame a lot of his past baggage, but his understanding was still clouded. It needed time to work itself out. But because of his association with Ravana, instead of cleansing his vasanas, it propelled him towards a certain death. Association with the bad always comes with a heavy price of sharing their karma phalas. Associating ourselves with satsanga, on the other hand, gives us the benefit of the good karma phalas of the sadhus we associate with. Maricha's association with Rama, though based on fear, was enough to instill the seeds of sattva in Maricha. The next point we need to ponder about desires worst transformation. We got this insight in the Sita Rama Samvada on the nature of violence. Unbridled desires invoke the worst in us. It propels us towards asatya, and it also manifests as anger and rage due to the transformation of the desire. It also propels a person coveting objects or treating people as objects and hanker for another spouse. And this is exactly what Ravana did by transgressing all the boundaries and kidnapping Sita. Finally, what is the best thing we can learn from this discussion between Maricha and Ravana? Maricha was living in fear, in constant thoughts of Rama. His limited interaction with Rama aroused a tiny amount of sattva. Though his mind was dominated by tamas, he was still able to see the real nature of Rama. This must give hope to all of us. If Maricha, the worst of Rakshasas, could evolve, so can we. Given enough time, had he not associated with Ravana, Maricha would have even scrubbed his fear along with his bad vasanas and replaced it with higher thoughts of Rama. Whether we follow bhakti, jnana, dhyana, or any path, one's thoughts must be dominated by Rama. Needless to say, we are using the word Rama as synonymous with Brahman. Depending on our mental makeup, we can envision this Brahman, Bhagavan, as any of the Ishta Devata of our choice, like Shiva, Ganesha, Shakti, Krishna, or Subramanya. As we continue to do the mundane chores of our life, we look at Ishvara through his representation in the Jagat as Dharma. By observing Dharma, one begins to acquire more sattva, replacing the rajas and tamas. If we are adherents of the Bhakti Marga, we are replacing the beautiful image of Bhagavan and let it do the cleansing of our subtle bad vasanas. Constantly listening to the Daivi Gunas of Bhagavan in the form of pravachans, stotras, slokas, we begin to cleanse the dark external accretions we have added to our personality. Though we mirror Maricha or Ravana on many counts, there is a lot of hope for each and every one of us. We need to understand that if a Maricha could evolve, so can we. How? Maricha was trying to trick Sita. But in our case, our own manas is acting like Maricha. It is making us chase the asatya of Jagat as reality. By constantly invoking Rama's name and thinking elevated thoughts of Atman, we pull this manas and put it at the lotus feet of Bhagavan. Nama Japa and Nama Sankirtan are some of the best forms of fast-track spiritual evolution. Rama Nama is Taraka Mantra. So let us make every single conscious effort to include Rama in our thoughts, in our words and actions, and constantly think about his lotus feet. Jai Shri Ram. Om Tat Sat.